Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. John's Gospel gives us pause for reflection this evening. He shared these words. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The love of Jesus is clearly on display before us this evening as we reflect on how Jesus gets down and washes his disciples' feet. He had prepared the Passover meal and everything was set and he made all the arrangements and they're in this room in Jerusalem and then he gets up from the table and he does what? Of all things, he gets down to stoop and wash his disciples' feet. This was the lowliest of tasks to be performed. Remember that in Jesus' day, they walked everywhere, and they didn't have modern-day tennis shoes that were, you know, completely enclosed on all sides. They're wearing sandals. And so there would be a large amount of dust that would accumulate on the disciples' feet and on Jesus' feet over the course of the day. The feet, day to day, were the dirtiest part of the body. And so to wash feet then became one of the most disgusting jobs. But in this simple act, we see Jesus' love. In this simple act, we see Jesus' unselfish humility. And as you might imagine, this foot washing wasn't just about scrubbing dirt from the body. It was symbolic. You know, we get kind of clued into this whole thing as Peter and Jesus have this little discourse about how you need to participate in this washing from Jesus, or else you have no part in him. And so it's not just about feet. It's not just about removing dirt from the body, but this feet washing is symbolic of what Jesus is going to do on the cross. He's going to wash away the sins of the world, including Peter's sins, including your sins, and including my sins. Because certainly Jesus can't just be like, okay, well, I'm not going to wash your feet then, Peter, and that means the last 3 years of you following me, all right, we'll just pretend that didn't happen. We'll just erase that from history. We'll forget that you confess me as the Son of God, and we'll just go on. Right? There's more than just an outward act. So this foot washing is a great symbol. A great symbol of Jesus' love. God declares this to us through the scriptures too. You might remember our Old Testament reading from Zechariah. He says, on that day, the day when the Lord would be pierced, a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah literally prophesied that when Jesus dies, he would open up this fountain that would not just wash dirt off of our feet, but that would literally clean us from our sin itself. In Revelation 7, we get this picture of all of the saints who come out of the great tribulation, and what does the Lord say about them? They have washed their robes and made them white. How? The blood of the Lamb. In Hebrews, we hear how much more shall the blood of Christ, who offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And of course, our epistle, the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's no getting around it. Your sin, it makes you stink. Seriously, none of us want to be around each other because we know it's only a matter of time before we sin against each other. Our sin, it makes us dirty. So Jesus gets up from his rightful place at the heavenly banquet table, and he wraps himself not in a towel, but he wraps himself in flesh and blood, the same flesh and blood that all humanity has, and he performs the lowliest of tasks. He humbles himself to live in this sin-filled world right alongside you. Even though you stink and even though you're dirty, he is content to come and do this for you. That way he might shed his blood for you on the cross. Even as the Son of God, the teacher, the master, as he says, the Savior is content to get right in there in the midst of your sin, in the midst of your stink, and he does what? He gives you a bath. Your sins are washed away. You, like the disciples, you are wholly clean, 100% clean, entirely clean, for Jesus has washed you with his precious blood. He has given you a part with him. In fact, you have so much a part with Jesus that he gives you his blood in the Holy Supper. Right? Jesus, he leaves that heavenly banquet table, the place where he rightfully belongs, and he comes down to humble himself for you. That way, when he ascends back into heaven, he can prepare a place for you at that table. And we get a foretaste of it at our altar. We receive the very body and blood, but the actual feast that's going to take place in the heavenly kingdom is far beyond what we could ever imagine. However, this isn't the only thing that Jesus accomplishes by washing his disciples' feet. It's not just a performance of great love. It's not just a show of humility, and certainly it is. But it's more. Jesus says that his feet washing is an example of how to live in love and how to be humble in service toward other people. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, which is what Jesus has done now, right? He has ascended back into heaven. He is in his rightful place up at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And do you understand what I've done for you, Jesus says? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. But if I then, who is your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to do the same for one another's feet. So should I get the basins out? You guys want to wash each other's feet? Jesus doesn't call us to actually wash each other's feet. Quite honestly, our feet probably aren't the dirtiest part of our body anymore. But what he does want us to do is he wants us to live in service to each other. He wants us to humble ourselves and do what is maybe sometimes considered the dirtiest of jobs. And that is forgive one another. To get down into the dirt and the stink of each other's sins and announce to each other the absolution. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a parent or a spouse or a sibling or a friend. The truth is that we know each other's sins. We know each other's flaws all too deeply. Because they're all too apparent. It's really easy for me to project myself outward and poke and prod at all of the things that you are no good at. But what's more important is recognizing them and forgiving them. That's the kind of humility that the Lord wants you to have. And to serve. To serve in whatever place in life God has put you. And we have the perfect example for this. We have the Ten Commandments. It tells us exactly how we can serve God and exactly how we can serve our neighbor. And so we use the commandments as a guide for our life to teach us how to do what Jesus did, to teach us how to have humble service for other people. Jesus says, I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. And what does he add immediately after that? A servant is not greater than his master. If he recognizes himself as our master and Lord, and as we understand our place as his servants, well, doesn't a servant always want to do what would please their master? Shouldn't we always strive to do the will of the God who saved us? The attitude of our heart should always be, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do with the time that you've given me? What do you want me to do with the abilities that I have in this life? His answer is all too obvious. We already know it. Do unto others as I have done for you. Forgive each other their sins as I have forgiven you. Help each other in time of need as I have helped you. Humble yourselves to kindness and service for one another, just as I have done for you. If Jesus is willing to get down on his knees and serve his disciples, then as the Spirit of Christ lives in each and every one of us, we should be willing to do the same. But again, there we are imperfect. And so we come here. We come here to be served by our Lord yet again. And so today, know that the Lord has washed you clean and you are forgiven, clean, holy. And allow that holiness of Christ that has been given to you to prompt you this evening to once again serve others in thanksgiving for how he has served you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your humble service in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.